This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutan with Julian Nkusu Chuang with the top business stories of the day. Just coming off the back of an interview you did, Chuang, with Nestle's head in Malaysia. I still can't get my mind around a Kit Kat nasi lemak. I mean, what in the world is that? I know you said it's an acquired taste. I know you were
Kit
rolling
Kat
your
rice. Nasi lemak. It's a Kit Kat nasi lemak taste. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
There's a bowl.
You've got to take a break and think about it.
I think take a long break and think about it. While we do that, we also have to perhaps to think about these plans that are afoot to get EPF, to reconsider the way EPF structures its retirement plans for Malaysians, allowing the second account to be up to 40%. For the purposes of getting first-time buyers a leg into the property market. Now, is that a good idea? On the face of it, is something you think, yeah, this is great?
Yeah, I think this is really coming hot off the heels of the property ownership problem in Malaysia, that whole big controversy about allowing developers to give a loan to people to buy their homes, and now are really setting up the account for the purposes of coughing out money to pay for your down payment, not even to pay for the entire property, but just to afford the down payment. So I guess it's an okay move over the long term, because Chuang, you might have other ideas, but I think a property is a long-term appreciating asset, so it's okay to divert some retirement funds into an appreciating asset.
So obviously this is a mooted, it's a proposed suggestion by Dato' Joe, the FinMin too. And I think
also industry players, Masing Group,
correct,
is there.
And here's my point, because although the FinMin too, or Finance Minister too, he wants you sold the property to put the money back into account too. So that's kind of like on the table as well. So they're trying to do a win-win. But here's my point, right? I think based on my discussions with property developers, the lobby group among developers is actually quite strong in the country. And I get that the economic multipliers of the property and construction and building materials sector is quite meaningful in the country, because it has huge multiplier effects to the economy. But why must we be so hell-bent on property ownership? Why must we be bending over backwards at a time when things are quite tough to allow developers to move inventory at the expense of EPF retirement accounts? You do not have to own your property if you cannot afford
it. What are the alternatives?
What are the alternatives?
Well, renting, for starters. I mean, you can postpone your ownership. That's a possibility. If you're talking about the particular economic conditions, you're saying that do not justify
this. It depends
on
your priorities, Julian. Because if you want to retire rich and retire young, which I guess most people do, then you've got to...
No, I'm not even thinking about retiring rich or young. I'm just asking what the alternative is to...
You rent,
not. You rent for the
you
rest
rent.
Of your life?
You rent.
Is that a good idea?
Government sets up public housing.
There's a huge proposition,
or you put a cap
right
on
now.
Prices.
There's a huge proposition right now to be renting property and to not even own a car. Because once the event, even now, you've got so many apps which allow you to get from A to B without even owning a car. I'm not going to name the names because obviously it's going to be free advertising for them.
Uber,
and then,
Grab.
Okay.
Whatever, right?
Well, you know,
and then you've also got things like MRT, which is going to be coming up.
Well, you know, one of the things that you just mentioned, I think it's quite disturbing, is the question of lobby groups and public policy.
But that's a reality.
That's a reality all over the world. And the question is transparency, right? If we have, we try to have as transparent a system as possible, the media, of course, assists in that, so that lobby groups do not have a disproportionate hold on governments in terms of public policy making. And what we need also is very strong public policy option debates, in order that everything is put forward to the public in terms of the kinds of trade-offs we want
to
make.
To which I reply to you, Sharad, who is representing the common people in government? Who is saying, hey, corporations, hey, GLCs, you make up 35 to 40% of the stock market, why don't you start paying your rank and file more money? Why don't you start giving them better bonuses? Why don't you reduce your margins a little bit and put more money, disposable money, into people's pockets?
Yeah, that's a lot of the policy.
Get rid of the monopolies, pay people more, increase salaries so they have more money to buy more properties.
And the long term, those long term suggestions and proposals have to start today, because they don't work overnight. They don't come up with a solution overnight, right? But right now, what we're doing in this balance between incomes and our spending is really a band-aid policy where we are just taking out a band-aid and pasting it on a hugely cracking dam. We really need an income policy. But in the short term, what do you do, right? These are short-term moves. And I just think that before we move on to the suspicions of lobby group, I don't think that owning a property is a bad thing unless you're living in Tokyo in the late 80s or in the United States in 2008, right? But by and large, property is an appreciating asset, especially if you're not using this your money to speculate, especially if you're living in your own home and you are having ownership of an appreciating asset.
Property price appreciation is an assumption which is not a truism in many parts of the
world. It is a truism according to NAPI, because over the last 15, 20 years, the average property has gone up 3, 4, and 5%.
Past performance is no indicator of future performance.
It isn't. What about this? It's as good as the rise in price of your Milo. If you're expecting inflation in Milo and in wages, I think property can also offer you that kind of investment security.
Well, Julian, can I ask you this question? I mean, if this is targeted again to first-time owners, somebody perhaps in their 20s, right? So in 30 years' time, they probably paid off that mortgage. They come into a kind of semi-retirement period with a house. I mean, isn't that a good idea that you have the security of a home? Nobody can take that away from you.
That is the blue sky, but between year zero and year 30, you've got to go through a whole world of pain. You know, a mortgage is like a jail term, essentially. And if you had bought a property in either one of Spain,
it's no different. You've got to pay rentals otherwise.
In Netherlands or in the US, you might still be in negative equity.
Interest rates right now are lower than rental yields, right? If you don't pay your installments, you got to pay rental. What are you going to do, Chuang? You are still imprisoned anyway, right?
Can I ask
price of renting a bungalow in Plot Tikus, Penang is 2,500 ringgit.
You're in a
cheap. A terrace house is 1,006.
Okay, can we shift the conversation a little bit?
2,800 ringgit. Look at what's in the EPF account balance, all right? A 680 billion ringgit in fund size right now with 14.5 million members. That gives you an average 47,000 per member. Take 40% of that. That's 18,800 available to be withdrawn from your account to put a down payment. Before we even talk about anything else, the huge problem is the sufficiency of what's in your account. You can't even afford anything with 18,800, let alone renting a bungalow in Pulau Tikus for 2,800.
Well, I think Julian's got a point here, right? One of the things, of course, is we're looking at young people. This is not about somebody who's in their 40s with a substantial amount in account too. You're looking at somebody who's starting out with very little in account to, even if you bumped it up to 40%, how much would there be in there? I know you made the rough calculation based on kind of
averages for
EPF account holders. But the reality is nobody in their 20s, even if they've been working for 5 years, would have accumulated anything close to.
So I think Chuang is right in the sense that we shouldn't even spend any smidgen of mental effort really thinking about this problem, because it's not going to solve a problem. And I think the underlying basic problem is
wage growth.
Yes, I agree.
It's wage quantum.
And there is also a lot of measures of creativity that you can get from using rent-to-own schemes as a kind of policy. I think your rental idea is right.
I agree with you, Julian. And in a mutual admiration society, you would be the chairman, I'd be the president. You're right. Over the long term, property does appreciate, and I believe in property. But at the same time, the basic problem we are missing the wood from the chaff is that we are getting very mediocre.
The trees.
Sorry, that's the one. The burger from the ham.
As a minority shareholder
we have been laboring under low wages for too long.
But what is going to push the needle on that, John? We have big companies going to government, putting pressure on them, lobbying them, and saying, you solve the problem.
For example,
they don't want to take the burden.
For example, Public Bank, most valuable bank in the country, just recently, right?
By price to book measures.
Yeah, price to book.
Yeah, three times, right?
Their net margins after paying for everything is 52%. 52% net margins. You look at Max's DG Cellcom, right? Their net margins at telco level, around about the same, 55 to 60%.
What would be a reasonable
level? Why do they not share some of these profits with their people? They say our people are our number one asset.
Share with whom?
Sorry?
Share with the employees.
Share with their people.
Oh, that's the reason why they're making such big money, is
correct,
the fact that they don't share.
So the problem
what has
is
that
not,
got to do with the price of tea in China?
It's got everything to do with
the
Chuang
is
money,
asking for a shift in the way corporates think about.
It's or pay us more so that we can
correct,
afford
something. Yes, so that you can afford a better home.
I don't know if it was
savings.
Actually spiral into some kind of inflation. I mean, the more we are paid, the more we buy. But I think I agree with you in the sense that we need a national income policy. And to that end, we have allowed a lot of money to leak out of the system, money that could have gone
that's
into
the
our
other
betterment.
Elephant in the room, because corporate, you know, illicit outflows has been humongous.
Okay, so what's going to push the needle on that? I mean, we're saying that these long-term solutions, and that's...
Willpower.
Political will.
Political will.
Political will.
Political will.
On the part of government to restructure the fate of Malaysians.
It's as simple as this, Sharad and Jules. Don't be so greedy, La. Share some of the money with your fellas.
What is
the
reasonable
people?
Rate of return I'm for corporates?
I'm going to call you the next time I need some money, Chuang. But
he's not a billion-dollar company. I think that's his point.
I don't own Sime Darby Property. I don't own IGN. You know, so these are the guys who are making huge profits.
Okay, so... The next up, I mean, we're looking at Target. It's got some innovative ideas about how to help millennials.
I think the current business models, in spite of poor income notwithstanding, are quite creative, right? It's very democratizing. You mentioned Uber and Grab. It really democratizes us from the burden of owning cars. You've got people like Zara and Muji and Uniqlo. And here Target is trying to cater to the small town, having a small town mall. So business models can also, apart from being a strong lobby, can also change to cater for the smaller wallet size. And I guess this is what it's all about.
Well, we're coming up to the top of the hour and news with Keith Kam. After that, we'll have the opening numbers on the stock market and more analysis. Please weigh in with your thoughts. We've had a lot of people on Twitter saying they're loving the discussion on owning houses and property ownership. Please tell us what you think a government should do for the ordinary Joe Blow. And we'll be talking about that in the days to come. Keep listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.